The recent deaths of some high-profile athletes have prompted commentator Frank DeFord to consider how the sports world handles the subject.
Death is not uncommon in athletics, but the competitors are young and sport is the very essence of the physical. And so when someone does die in a game, it always seems rather rude of that man with the side to intrude on us here. We have suffered, too, these past few weeks with an unusually high consciousness of mortality in sport. The investigation into Dale Earnhardt's death has seldom left the news since he crashed last February. Yet another boxer died from ring injuries earlier this summer after a nationally televised bout, and most recently several young men perished of heat exhaustion on the football practice field. We mourn them all, of course, but invariably we seek to explain away these tragedies by absolving sport. Boxing, for example, is the only accepted sport where the intent is to hurt your opponent. A good spectator fight is one in which the bodily harm and pain are the most conspicuous. Only when a man does not get up do we catch ourselves and regain our best instincts. But we quickly accept boxing's wonderful rationalization that it really isn't boxing that kills. No, it is simply the way of the boxing bureaucracy. If only we could clean up the sport, get more honest officials, better organization, yada, yada, yada. So far as I know, boxing is the only institution in the world that is palpably cruel, but survives because it successfully diverts attention from its evil to its chicanery. Don King is not the problem with boxing. A legal blow to the head is. As for Dale Earnhardt, whatever details were in the cause of his death, the bald truth is that if men race in a bunch going up to 200 miles per hour, a certain number must crash, a certain number must die. Earnhardt himself often said, "We are not racing, we are just existing on the track together." In a way, then, the prolonged investigation was more of a tribute for the popular intimidator, and also, in not a little bit like boxing, a more benign way of avoiding the obvious. Sad and simple as it is with men racing cars, speed kills. The loss of football players to heat is different, though, for we so identify with them. We have not boxed or driven race cars. We have played football. Our sons do. Something like 800,000 American boys every year. And we all know what it is to endure ghastly, enervating heat. Certainly, though, trouble is not supposed to come to big strapping fellows in shoulder pads, is it? What's the matter with the coaches, the trainers? But you see, here the hard truth is that in so many of these cases, the players are most responsible themselves, and that's painful to accept. But the culture of the gridiron is such that players are not supposed to show weakness, and that can make a football player as vulnerable to his pride as a boxer is to a punch, as a racer is to high speed. If not much has changed in how we deal with death in athletics, though, one thing has. Whenever now a player dies in any sport, we all want to know what substances are in his body. At least that way we can think it was the medications, the drugs. It really wasn't the fault of the sport that we love.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.